Today is September 3rd, 2014. This is episode number 270 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, man about town. I didn't come up with the title. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you could visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@macobserver.com. In fact, Jeff, I have a call to action.
Do tell.
I would like our listeners to send in their suggestions for titles for me.
Oh, I like that. I was afraid you were going to ask them to send in photographs.
No.
I prefer the idea of titles.
I see what you did there, but no, I was going for titles. I was going for titles. Now, of course, we say that today is September 3rd. We say that.
Sure, that's exactly what we say. Matter of fact, I remember hearing myself say that specifically.
But it's really late in the day on September 2nd.
Yes, but we have the magic of wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
It's true. It's true. We do, and the show's going to end up what neither of us knew a few minutes ago is that this show is going to go up early on the 4th, on Wednesday, our usual day. Early.
No, it'll go up on the 3rd, which is
the third, right? Because right.
See, I know. It's your time wobbly. Is especially wibbly and wobbly today.
It is especially wibbly and wobbly. All right. Well, so you know, you said the thing about photographs. So, I'm assuming you weren't referring to Def Leppard.
No. By the way, did you know that their drummer only has one arm?
I did know that. An incredible story. An incredible story that they held themselves back from even bigger superstardom by waiting for him to be able to figure out how to play with just the one arm.
That's pretty cool.
It really is. It's actually stunning. Nonetheless, we weren't talking about the Def Leppard. We were instead talking about the big photo thing that happened this weekend.
Right. So we were talking about people like Jennifer Lawrence and...
I'd rather frame it from the standpoint of we were talking about the bottom feeders who tried to make a buck by stealing photos from some celebrities and releasing them online.
You know, I like that. Yes, that's true. That's really what it is. And I was quite surprised at the number of people that were like, oh, look, there's these leaked photos out there. No, they're not leaked. They were stolen.
They were stolen and distributed by a bottom feeder scumbag at the hive of villainy and asshattery known as 4chan.
Yes. Just horrible. You know, if you want to take photos of yourself naked, well, more power to you, because the human body is a beautiful thing. I don't care what size, shape, or color it happens to be. Just good for you. And if you have someone that you can trust enough to share those photos with, well, that's a really awesome thing. Good for you for that. And for someone that thinks it's okay to steal those photos from you and break that trust and then put them on the internet, they suck. Like, seriously bad.
To be fair, no one was breaking any trust. They were just displaying their bottom feedingness. There was no trust involved because, you know, there was no agreement between the thieves and their targets.
Okay, that is very true. Nonetheless, they suck.
Yes.
They're just bad people.
Indeed, 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 indeed. It's a mess. So it's a mess. And this has been going on for a long time, of course, but this was... This sort of thing has been going on for a long time. You know, I mean, look at the news of the world shutting down after 100 years of operations because they were routinely bribing cops, and how they got out of criminal charges is just beyond me. But
probably bribery.
Yeah, probably bribery. Do we want to say that?
Well, it's
hard to imagine a world in which bribery wasn't involved, but you never know. says Brian, avoiding libel suits.
Oh, you crazy Brian, you.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, this sort of thing is nothing new. I mean, we've got the paparazzi breaches the privacy of celebrities all the time and has for decades, and people have been hacking into computers and online accounts and phones and all sorts of things for a long time too. And so it's not that this is anything new, but it was particularly appalling, in part because you know, there were just so many people involved. There were 100 celebrities, although not all of those celebrities, I should say some of the celebrities said that the photographs of them were faked.
Right, but there are others that said, yep, that's me. Mm-hmm. That was my private stuff. Thanks mm-hmm. for stealing my stuff, jerks.
Right, and of course, the reason why we're talking about it is because the thieves claim to have hacked iCloud accounts and gotten the photographs from PhotoStream.
Mm-hmm.
And which is part of what made it such a big story, because this is obviously something involving Apple. Now,
and only days before they're going to have big product announcements.
Correct, which is obviously a big deal. You know, I wrote in the piece I just put up on this that Apple would rather have the press talking about what they're going to release on the 9th rather than iCloud security.
Yes, which I think you totally nailed it right there. Yeah, they want to take care of this now, and then on the 9th, it's all about whatever big announcements they have.
And now, we discussed this, you and me and Dave Hamilton discussed this just this morning on the 2nd.
No, we discussed this yesterday morning on the 2nd.
Right, yes, right. You're right, I forget. On TMO's Daily Observations. But what happened since that recording and this recording is that Apple actually released a statement, and that's why we're delving into it again.
Right, and this isn't the first statement Apple has released about this incident.
No, Apple released a statement. We should actually get this correct. Apple released a statement on Monday saying that they were actively investigating the reports, blah, blah, blah. And what happened on Tuesday was that Apple released a quote-unquote Apple media advisory blaming the theft of the photos on, and I'm going to quote here, certain celebrity accounts were compromised by a very targeted attack on usernames, passwords, and security questions, a practice that has become all too common on the internet. None of the cases we have investigated have resulted from any breach in any of Apple's systems, including iCloud or Find My Phone.
And Apple made a point to include Find My Phone because part of the rumor or statements going around about how this was accomplished was that people were able to perform a brute force attack on Find My iPhone and through that gain passwords.
Right, and it's because Find My iPhone, one could submit a password for Find My iPhone an unlimited number of times, making it specifically and ideally vulnerable to a brute force attack. And Apple closed that gap over the weekend, and that sort of essentially helped fuel the fires of speculation that's how the bad guys got access to these accounts.
Sure. And regardless of how people did manage to get into the accounts, it's a good thing that Apple just went ahead and fixed that, even though they shouldn't have left that in that state ever.
Correct. Yeah. I totally agree. Apple should not have left. That should not have been possible in the first place. But it would seem like, assuming that Apple's initial 40 hours of investigation end up actually covering all these situations and that this wasn't in any kind of iCloud breach, it really does seem like the closing that gap was just a matter of like, okay, we're going to fix everything just right now. Let's just get to it. rather than, you know, it being a it being because that's how the bad guys got in.
Sure. And yeah. And I'm imagining that once the news that all this had happened got out, that Tim Cook made a couple phone calls, and in his Tim Cook way, made sure everyone understood this is going to be fixed now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I can only imagine. Well, Apple said in its own media advisory that it had mobilized its engineers. It's not like they were going to war.
Well, I think they chose those words very specifically, and I think your interpretation is probably pretty much spot on.
When we learned of the theft, we were outraged and immediately mobilized Apple's engineers to discover the source. Oh, Apple also said, by the way, that it's working with law enforcement to help identify the bad guys, and I hope the bad guys get identified.
I hope they do, and I hope that they are charged and prosecuted.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. They demanded money to give people access to these photographs. This would be on 4chan. And 4chan, to its credit, 4chan has deleted the thread. And I'm somewhat surprised by that, but 4chan did that. And according to Business Insider, the bad guys got a whopping $95 in bitcoins for what was probably the result of years of work.
Yeah. So they're rolling in the dough now.
Yeah, $95. Good on ya.
Yeah.
Good on ya. So, you know, I
have to point out $95 isn't enough to buy a brand new Apple TV. Just saying.
Unless they get it somewhere where it's $89. Sometimes it goes on special.
Okay. If they watch for a special, then they can get something for that. Yeah,
they could get a refurbished model.
That's true. They can totally do that.
Okay. That said, one of the most important things, one of the most interesting things about this is to see Apple be so aggressive. I guess it was Friday, right? Mark Gurman over at 9to5Mac put out a very in-depth look at Apple PR. It's a fantastic piece.
Yeah, it's a really good piece.
And, you know, one of the things that he talked about was Tim Cook's desire for Apple to be a little bit more media-friendly, a little bit more open. That's one of the reasons why Katie Cotton left the company. I don't know whether or not that's the case. I don't think anyone knows whether or not that is specifically the case. I don't think Mark Gurman knows whether or not that's specifically the case. But the reality is that Apple has been a lot more open under Tim Cook, and that is exemplified by the company's handling of this particular issue. You know, we had one statement out within 24 hours, and then we have a media advisory that's incomplete, right? Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't even have the entire message to shape yet, and yet the company released a media advisory within 48 hours of all of this stuff happening. And I think that is a good thing.
I think it's a very good thing, too. It's refreshing to see Apple so proactive, because typically they're silent, and then after they've had time to really craft their message, then they give us a reactive statement.
Yeah, you know, under, just to cut right down to it, under Steve Jobs, Apple's typical reaction was to say nothing and then either never say anything or deal with something only after it became a crisis. And right. We've seen with Tim Cook, we've seen something different. We had, you remember Tim's, there was Tim's letter about maps.
Yes.
And, you know, and the subsequent firing of Scott Forstall.
Right.
We had Apple's ongoing reaction to charges that Apple wasn't environmentally friendly enough, or that Apple's work safe practices in its supply chain weren't good enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The apology to China.
The apology, the very quick apology to China for something that really wasn't even something that Apple did wrong.
Right.
Yeah, Apple has been very aggressive with answering important issues, and I think that this issue here is this is an important one for Apple to be aggressive and transparent about, because you know, cloud security is just, it's ever more important to ever more people on a daily basis.
Right. And when iOS 8 ships and OS X Yosemite ships, that reliance on cloud services, so data stored online, becomes even a bigger thing.
Yeah. Yeah, people need to have confidence in the data that they're putting on the cloud. And Apple has a, let's call it a spotty record on cloud services, online services, to begin with.
Yeah, Steve Jobs himself said, well, why should you trust us with cloud services? Remember, we're the people that brought you .Mac.
Right, and this was when MobileMe was being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And MobileMe has since been canned, and now we've got iCloud. And it's very important for Apple to do as many things right as it can. And whether or not iCloud security was breached, and it, you know, Apple says that it wasn't.
And it's in Apple's best interest to not lie right now.
It is very much so, because the truth will out.
Yes, and if iCloud security was compromised, and then it turns out later on we discover that, now there's no reason to trust Apple ever again.
Because
they had lied. So yeah, so I really think that that Apple's being truthful here.
Yeah, I imagine it is, at least as, yeah, I imagine that Apple's being truthful. I would also imagine that law enforcement will eventually have something to say about this. And we know that that private security researchers are all over this.
Oh, of course.
You know, it eventually, various security researchers will have something to say on this issue, something beyond speculation. I mean, something definitive based on their own research. So yeah, it's as you said, it's important for Apple to be truthful about this. I think that Apple is being truthful, and whichever way, just being open and transparent about that is a good step. These are good changes at Apple. I like it.
I agree. I'm very pleased. I'm very disappointed at the circumstances, but I'm not blaming Apple for that. But yes, I'm very pleased with Apple's response to all of this.
All right. Well, how are you feeling about NFC?
I'm not feeling the love.
Well, I guess that settles it. I guess it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So what we're talking about, since we recorded the last show, there have been a couple of reports about Apple unleashing NFC in the iPhone 6, the device that is going to be announced in
mere days, on September 9th.
Yeah, a week. Six days, depending on, you know, whatever, timey-wimey.
Right.
So this one's a tough one for me. I don't know.
I can understand that.
I don't know. I had thought that Apple had. All right. So initially, let's go back years.
Okay.
Android does NFC. There are Android devices out there with NFC. Google's doing something with Google Wallet that involves NFC.
And no one's using it.
No one's using it today. Yeah. But we're going back several years. Right. And Apple sitting on the sidelines with NFC, and Apple's not doing anything at the very least. And this, like, you know, with the iPhone 5, no NFC, iPhone 5S and 5C, no NFC. And at that point, it seemed pretty clear that Apple was just not interested in the technology at all, which is why no one's doing anything with NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And we really haven't had a lot of NFC rumors in this particular product cycle, but now all of a sudden we're getting rumors.
It's like all at once, NFC rumors hit.
Yeah.
And they're coming along with Apple doing a payment system, digital wallet sort of thing.
Yeah, which we've also heard in years past that didn't pan out.
Yes.
But the difference here's the difference, Jeff.
The difference is that I'm coming out and saying I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not even that. The difference is that at this point in Apple's product cycle, at this point in the rumor mill, most of the things that are leaking turn out to be true. Not always. Certainly not always. There are definitely examples of things we were expecting up until the keynote was over, and you know, we're surprised that we didn't see.
Right. And in some cases we see what was there, but it had been misinterpreted.
Right. But
so it's possible that NFC will be there and people are misinterpreting how Apple intends to use it.
That is certainly massively possible. Like we don't know, for instance, it seems likely that Apple is going to announce some kind of thing involving agreements with credit card processors.
Right. Yeah, we're getting reports now saying that Apple has struck deals with American Express, Visa, MasterCard, major banks, major retailers. And if that's the case, then, yeah, we will probably see big announcements about that on the 9th.
Right. Yes. It does, in fact, yeah. I think that we're going to see that. Now, whether or not that has anything to do with NFC is another issue. Whether or not NFC is going to be included with the iPhone 6, I don't know. I'm torn on this one. My gut says no, and my analytical side says probably.
Well, what if Apple is simply expanding their iPhone payment system that you can currently use in their own retail stores? If they do something based on that, what you really need on everyone else's end, or from a retailer's end, you need to have a Wi-Fi network, which they probably already do, and you need to have the applications that allow them to interface with Apple's system to handle payments. And then everything else happens on the back end, where Apple gets deals with those retailers and with credit card processing companies, so that you don't have to run everything through your iTunes account.
Certainly viable. Certainly viable. I mean, I really thought that Apple was going to end up using something stemming from iBeacon for payments.
And I've been expecting something like that as well. Now, it doesn't mean that Apple's in an either-or situation, because it could be that they're planning on doing their own home-rolled system, but that there are certain markets where they must have NFC to be able to be a viable competitor.
Yeah, yes. To that end, it's possible that Apple planned on doing something with payments through iBeacon and then found that it wasn't going to work. I mean, there's a reason why we haven't seen this up until now, right? Apple does not release a product or technology, usually does not release a product or technology until it's ready to go, Maps being a significant exception.
Dot Mac.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, there are actually a number of exceptions. The Cube wasn't right because of the price.
Yeah, Final Cut 10.
I love the Cube.
The Cube was really cool.
Oh, I still have a Cube. I love that thing.
Don't get rid of that. It's a special thing. Just put it on a pedestal.
Oh, man. It's so gorgeous. Anyway, Apple usually doesn't release a product until it's ready to go. And there's a reason why we haven't seen a payment system from Apple when Google was on this years ago. There's a reason why we haven't seen NFC. There's a reason why iBeacon was released essentially last year, right? These, if Apple had already ironed out all of the problems with any of these things, they would have already been released. That's my point.
Sure. And part of ironing all of that out includes getting the deals with the companies that handle the transactions. So banks and credit card companies. And it sounds like we've got that now.
Yes, it does. It does seem like we have it. So, but my original point about iBeacon was that it's possible that Apple could have been planning to do payments with iBeacon and they found that the technology wasn't going to work. Maybe it was never its plan. We just don't know. And that because of that, now it's time to introduce NFC. It's also likely that even if Apple planned on supporting NFC all along, despite comments to the contrary a couple of years ago, right? Didn't Apple? Apple had some disparaging things to say about NFC at the time.
That sounds very familiar.
That even if their plan all along was to support NFC, the idea of it makes sense to me that Apple would have waited until it had a major initiative to go with that, rather than just introducing it and letting people figure it out. Which is sure. Which is essentially what Google did by supporting NFC with the Android.
Yeah, that's a good point. And making this kind of move is not something Apple wants to do half-cocked.
Right.
They need to jump in and get it right from the beginning.
Right. Right. Yes, Apple has a lot at stake. Apple has a lot at stake when it comes to mobile payments. So I'm gonna be extraordinarily wishy-washy about this. My gut says that Apple left NFC a long time ago. My analytical side says that there's fire behind this smoke of these rumors that we've had in just the last few days.
I'm okay with you being wishy-washy because this is a really tough one to make a definitive statement on. What I will say is that I have been adamant for years that Apple's not going down the NFC path. And in the past couple days, these new reports that are coming out, I'm sitting here going, well, crap, why are they doing this to me now? I've been able to stay firm in my belief, and now I have to question that. So how about if I say, I will be surprised if NFC is part of Apple's big announcement on the 9th.
Okay.
But I won't be overly surprised.
Yeah. I want to make it clear that neither one of us are going to have claimed to have gotten this right after the fact, whichever way Apple goes.
Right.
Neither one of us are going to claim because we didn't make a stand.
But I think it's also safe to say that since I have been so adamantly against the idea that Apple is adding NFC, it probably will be the keystone feature next week.
Oh, well, that's part of my analytical side. Totally makes sense. Fire to the smoke is because...
It's because I'm saying no.
Yeah,
because
you're saying no. I mean, for sure, right? For sure. Now, Gene Munster... it's interesting. Gene Munster goes like... I mean, God, Gene Munster. Okay, Gene Munster, love the guy. Analyst with Piper Jaffray, one of the biggest Apple cheerleaders on the Wall Street analyst side of all time when it comes to Apple.
Sure.
And he has been beating the Apple TV drum until the drum head split and then cracked open in two and peeled back and
And then he took the chips that fell out, put them back in, and made maracas and continued to shake and dance.
Yes. It's all well played, sir. Well played. So, you know, he's been this huge Apple cheerleader on the Apple TV for so long. And then he puts out this piece today that you covered saying that he gave Apple a 50-50 chance on the iWatch, which is, I mean, come on, that's so wishy-washy.
Yeah, that's like amazingly wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And he was at least a little more firm on the other things that he said.
Well, like NFC, which is why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
He says the NFC's for sure, right?
He says NFC is for sure, and that it will be part of a payment system, although Apple may not be introducing a payment platform. So he throws a little bit of wishy-washiness into that too, but at least he came down strong on the side of there will be NFC.
Yes, at least he did that, which is interesting. I honestly, it doesn't. He's been so wrong about the Apple TV that I don't have an enormous amount of confidence in his interpretation of his supply side sources. I'm confident that he is plugged in at least partially to the supply side. The most plugged in to the supply side was Xiaowu, but Xiaowu is not currently, or at least he has not yet announced where he's coming up from air after being released from Sternegy, or quitting Sternegy, I don't know which.
From moving on from
Sternegy. Anyway, that's not the point. G Munster saying it does not make it so to me. It's not like John Pakowski, who said that, for instance, that Apple is going to announce the iWatch on the 9th.
Yeah, as soon as the Recode report came out, I didn't even hesitate to switch from saying there will be a second event in a few weeks to introduce the iWatch to it's happening on the 9th along with the iPhone.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't know. It's Gene put out his piece, and he put out his piece. John Pakowski says that the iWatch is going to be announced. Now, my guess at this point is that the iWatch is going to be announced, but it's not shipping anywhere near as soon as I thought.
I'm totally with you. I think that the iWatch isn't coming to store shelves until after the first of the year, and that Apple is doing with the iWatch exactly what they did with the original iPhone, which is controlling the release of information.
So originally, my working hypothesis on the iWatch and media events has been that Apple would give the iWatch its own media event. That was what I originally thought.
And that's what I was thinking too.
And I also thought that Apple would, that if Apple was going to, or when Apple announced the iWatch, that it would be shipping within 2 to 6 weeks at the most.
Yes, and I was assuming that it would get announced and then ship in time for the holiday buying season this year.
I still think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be delayed until 2015. I think that the supply chain has that wrong. Of course, I also still think that this thing is being made in Arizona. But we have reports from DigiTimes this morning, right?
Yes, but I fear that in this case, DigiTimes is trying to build the tapestry from a single thread.
I suspect that, because it is possible for the supply chain to supply components and for assembly and maybe even the vast majority of manufacturing to be done in Arizona. That's still possible. But here's the deal. Do you remember how we said, we talked about this, I made a big deal about saying that if Apple announces the iPhone and it ships anywhere near the September 9th media event, that it's because it's being developed, it's being made in Arizona, right? We said that a couple times. We talked about it at length last week.
Right, yeah.
DigiTimes report saying that it won't ship until 2015.
That's what they're saying. But my belief that it won't ship till 2015, I had that before the DigiTimes thing came out today. I mean, that's what I was believing before today.
Fair enough. If it doesn't ship until 2015, it could certainly still be manufactured in China.
Sure, because if supply chain sources have that kind of information, then it would probably be because they're directly involved in the manufacturing as opposed to simply supplying parts.
Right. Our premise is that if it's gone to manufacturing, there are too many hands on it and we would have seen it by now. Right. That's our premise. We still and that premise still stands. But what Digitimes is saying is that production testing hasn't even been completed yet.
Production testing hasn't even started
yet. Hadn't even started yet. Correct. Sorry, I got that wrong. So that, under Digitimes tapestry, Apple could be building this thing in Asia and it won't ship until 2015, and that's why we haven't seen it. But I still think it's being made in Arizona.
I still think it's being made in Arizona as well. And I think that this device is going to be far more than a Fitbit One or Jawbone Up, and it's going to be collecting data on a level where Apple needs to have FDA approval for at least part of what it does. And because of that, they need to have the information out there about the device ahead of time, because the documents that will be involved in the approval process would come out anyhow.
Yeah, which is what they did with the iPhone. Did you already say that?
Yes. But we brought it back around and you backed me up on that one, so go team.
Yeah. Yeah, because the reason to go into a little bit of depth on that, Steve Jobs showed us the iPhone in January at Macworld. And the darn thing didn't ship until June.
Right. And that big lag time, a lot of it was waiting for the various regulatory approvals that they had to go through.
Yeah, more specifically, Apple knew that it would have to that it would have to submit the stuff for regulatory approval, and that would automatically open it up to public exposure.
Right. And I think that Apple may be facing the same sort of issue with the iWatch, although I'm betting that the amount of time that the iWatch will be involved in whatever review processes it needs will be shorter than it was for the original iPhone. And therefore, they'll be able to come out with the device sooner. But I'd be really surprised if they can get it on store shelves in time for holiday buying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to back you up on that. All right. So we have time for one more topic.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about something that's a little bit tangential to the event that effectively spurred this conversation. And that's the drone survey. I might be using survey incorrectly. The drone flyover of Apple Spaceship Campus.
You know, it was a cool video.
Great video.
I was, however, so disappointed that I didn't see X-Wings flying through the trench.
It does, except for the fact that it's flat, you know, two-dimensional. I mean, it's obviously, it's a 3D structure, you know, duh. But, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a sphere. But it did look a lot like a Death Star.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was feeling when I was watching the little video. And it was cool because it was just some guy with a drone with a camera attached to it, a GoPro or something else. And he just stood off on the sidewalk outside of the construction area and sent his drone up in the air and flew it around via remote control and captured all kinds of footage of the construction site.
Right. And it's a great look. Now, we've seen great pictures from Ron Service. I think his last name.
I can't remember his last name, but I do remember he's the local news helicopter guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a good photographer. He's a helicopter. I think he himself is a pilot. Could be wrong with that, but he's definitely a good photographer. You should follow him. Wait, let's actually put his feed in the show notes because he posts a lot of great shots in the Bay Area. Lots of great shots of like Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and fog and clouds and the city and all that sort of stuff. But he also shoots aerial photographs of a lot of the Silicon Valley tech giants, including Apple, including actually Infinite Loop and Google's headquarters. And I don't know. I can't remember if I've seen Facebook's headquarters. But he's also posted many photos of the construction happening at the spaceship campus.
Right. But he hasn't flown his helicopter down into the campus.
No, and he hasn't given his video either. So, you know, that, and these were also some of the newest shots I had seen, because you actually see what I assume is the cement foundations being poured.
That's my assumption as well.
That's the part that particularly looks like it might be the Death Star. But so yeah. The topic of conversation in theory here is the ongoing repercussions that drones have for companies like Apple.
Yeah, if Apple was hoping to keep the design totally secret, I don't know how they would be able to do that.
Well, and clearly they're not trying to keep the design totally secret, because plans have been filed with the city of Cupertino.
Right.
And it had to go through an extensive public approval process.
And anyone can go online and download the images of the building.
Correct. Yeah, so I'm less interested in what drones could reveal about Apple's headquarters, and more interested in the power of drones, especially as technology continues to advance. So as the drones themselves become longer and longer range, as the cameras become better and better and smaller and lighter, and the drones themselves become smaller and smaller and therefore less noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Computing horsepower continues to increase, such that more and more will be able to be analyzed from any given photograph or any given video. What this means for companies like Apple, and Apple is not the only company that rely on secrecy as part of their stock and trade.
They will have to change how they conduct discussions that involve sensitive information.
Well, that's a big thing. So, like, we know, like, one of our readers pointed out that Apple walks around with things are draped in black cloth, black fabric. If they're carried around, period, outside of any building, right? And Apple is not going to allow a stray photograph or just the wrong people to see anything, and that's fine. But if a company like Apple had a dozen drones sitting over it of people waiting to photograph every single little thing, and at this point there are no regulations, and I don't think there should be any regulations, I want to make that clear, preventing people from doing just that. Samsung could park a dozen drones over Apple if it so chose. So could the Mac Observer.
That's true. I've been told that Apple does have an issue with drones flying around their main campus.
Right. So like employees, you mean?
No. Like drones that the employees are not using at all. Like someone outside the company is flying drones over the campus.
Already. The existing campus.
The existing campus. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And of course, we don't know who those might belong to, and we don't know what they might see. Now, like, one of the things that I was thinking about was Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, and his penchant for discussing things over walks.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Well,
in this new drone controlled world,
probably not. It won't be too long at all. If it's not even, it's probably possible today, especially depending on who you are. But for either a drone to with a specialized mic to be able to actually just pick up a conversation, or even to analyze lip movement to determine with a greater or lesser degree of accuracy what someone is saying. mean, this is something that affects all of us.
Yeah. This isn't just about finding out about the next iPhone. This is about every conversation that you have when you're walking down the street.
Yes, and you know, we already, you know, ask Jennifer Lawrence about this. We already exist in a world where more and more of what we do is exposed to public discussion and consumption. Rightly or wrongly, I might add, and in often cases, wrongly. But, you know, like, you know, the days are gone where you can say something or do something and not have a record of it.
Yeah. What did Dave say on TDO? The internet is like Vegas. What happens on the internet stays on the internet.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
Well, at least, you know, for the lifetime of our culture, to at least. Yeah.
It will stay as long, or it will stay long enough to matter for you.
Correct. Absolutely and positively. And then again, so bringing it back to Apple, at this point, to my knowledge, there is nothing preventing 100 drones from being parked above Apple in shifts, being operated by Apple's competitors, by news publications like ours, by the police, by the NSA, by anyone. I mean, government and military installations are probably protected due to various espionage laws.
Sure, but a corporate campus, probably not.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that I want a corporate campus to be able to have special protection like that. I don't. I'll flat out and say it. I'm not interested in corporations having more protections than we the people. I'm not comfortable with corporations having as many protections as they do now. But that's a topic for another show, I'm sure. I don't know. At the same time, I also don't think that we the people are entitled to know what Apple's plans are ahead of time. And I don't think that Samsung is entitled to know what Apple is doing ahead of time. And I don't think that Apple is entitled to know what Samsung is doing ahead of time.
I totally agree. And yet I know that all of these companies will continue to conduct whatever form of industrial espionage they feel is appropriate to try and figure out what their competitors are doing so they can get a jump on them.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm waiting for someone to come out with a portable EM pulse gun. So you see a drone flying overhead, you aim your gun at it, send EM pulse out and knock the thing out of the sky.
Well, yeah, you know, just like I should have read the story and I didn't, but I saw a headline pass by that said that the California bill about kill switches in smartphones includes a provision that allows the police to activate it. I don't know if that's true. If it is true, I find that to be heinous beyond scary stuff. Scary stuff.
Yeah, if that is in there, then I would hope that there are very, very restrictive guidelines on exactly when that can be used.
Which should be never, ever, ever, because that is just insane. Nonetheless, we know that there are technologies out there. There's equipment on the market now that can be used to suppress Wi-Fi signals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but I don't know, suppress cellular signals as well. I am sure if they're not already, there will be products designed to bring down drones. And just as you just said, you know, like an EMP gun.
That would just be so cool to have, and so horribly inappropriate in the hands of most people.
Yes, I agree. If I saw a drone over me, I would be inclined to use a device to bring it down if I had access to such a device.
Sure.
Out of principle, mind you.
Right. But you're also responsible enough that if you're walking down the street and you think someone is talking too loudly on their cell phone, you're not going to aim the gun at them and knock out their cell phone.
Correct. I'm probably responsible enough for that. But I would still not want to.
Let's go with that.
I would still not want to give me that power. But I should imagine. I mean, so someone sticks a drone over a company. Let's call that company Apollonia. Apollonia Excruciatus, because surely there's not a company called that. And that
I was going to go with Fapple, but whatever.
Either way. And that company has a campus, and someone's got a drone parked over that campus, and Apollonia Excruciatus fires its EMP gun and brings the drone down. Can Apollonia Excruciatus now be sued?
That's a really good question. Because
Apollonia Excruciatus does not own the airspace above it, as far as I know. And maybe that will end up being where privacy laws take us, that we own the airspace, say, within 100 to 200 feet above property.
Well, okay, then what do we do about Google buying a whole satellite imaging system?
Yeah, and company. And what happens when drones are capable of extraordinary resolution at 1,000 feet or a mile or 2 miles? Because quite frankly, that will happen.
Of course. I mean, we can already get highly detailed information out of photographs from satellite images.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, the other aspect of that is, someone who is just flying a drone, just having fun. They're not spying on their neighbors, right? They're not even photographing at all, because there are all sorts of legitimate and super fun ways to use photography and video from drones in a completely innocent, unintrusive way. But so now, obviously you can't get permission to fly over everybody's. I mean, that would be such a mess. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know either, but I do know that until it gets sorted out, we're going to get to see some really awesome footage of places that we otherwise wouldn't have access to, like Apple's campus under construction.
Yeah, I would imagine now that this one person has gotten,
that place is going to be swarming with drones.
It's going to be swarming with drones. Yeah, it's going to be swarming with drones. I think I do know what it's going to happen. By the way, is that corporations with a lot of money are going to lobby for the right to be able to control their airspace in below a certain ceiling, and that they will be more protected than we the people. Without a doubt, that will end up happening.
Well, now I have a sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, the reason why we're recording today is because you're going to go get a sneak peek at something tomorrow, and we're under NDA, right? We can't say anything.
We are under NDA.
So but hopefully it'll end up being interesting. And, but you have to get.
I do, because I have to get because of NDA.
Yeah. GIT. You have to get.
That's right.
Right. So, I guess that means take us out.
I can do that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening, and hey, we haven't said where we live on Twitter lately, so...
No, we did a call to action earlier, though.
Did we? Oh, we did a call to action earlier. Yeah. Well, then I'm not going to tell you where I am on Twitter. You can just go Google me and figure it out yourself.
And me too, because our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bases by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
As always, stay subscribed, even if I'm not going to tell you what my Twitter handle is.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.